Please rise as you're able and join me in a call to worship. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in God. With hearts and hands and voices, let us praise the Lord. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn is number 364, I Sing a Song of the Saints of God. Let us confess who we are. In face of God's goodness, we recognize our failings. Hungry for God's mercy, let us tell the truth about ourselves, that we might receive grace in time of need. Gracious God, you call us your children, and give us your love.
We would seek to be merciful as you are, and to
show your compassion as you do. But we fail to live the life to which we have been called.
Where we ought to forgive, we condemn. The evil we should shun, we embrace. Forgive our foolish ways, tame our wayward wills, and make us more like Christ, until we are raised in perfection on the last day. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, no one who takes refuge in God will be condemned. Believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please invite everyone around you to share the peace with a nod or a wave.
Oh,
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray that as we read and meditate on your words this morning, that you will open our eyes and our hearts to your spiritual truths. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are God our Savior, and our hope is in you all day long. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning, New Testament, is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of a command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, so that we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Trio. I did not know there were children amongst us. Well, we're all God's children. But I didn't know that there was a little child with us.
So I think she wants to come up and visit. Would she like to come up? Come on, Nana. Hi. Oh, Nana. Just didn't know she was here. But I'm glad she was. Yes, indeed. We are going to read from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 25, which is a story about candles and about light. So let us listen now for the word of God. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So when we met last week, we talked about Jesus' teaching on how loving God is expressed by loving neighbors. The lesson came to us from the end of chapter 22 of Matthew's gospel. And now suddenly, we're in chapter 25. How did that happen? Well, chapter 25 is often thought of as one of the most vital segments of Matthew's gospel. Matthew has placed these verses deep within Holy Week, the last few days of Jesus' earthly life, when he is carefully setting out lessons he absolutely does not want his disciples to forget. And so hearing the entirety of the work, chapter 25, over the next few weeks, as offered by the lectionary preparers, is worth our time. But what are we missing from the rest of chapters 23 and 24? For some reason, the lectionary offers us just one reading from chapter 23. One. And in it, Jesus denounces the scribes and the Pharisees. He says, people should do as they teach, the Pharisees, but not what they do. For they, the Pharisees, do not practice what they teach. That kind of sounds like how many parents seek to teach their children. You may have said it yourselves, right? Do as I teach, not what I do. And I remember the words coming out of one mother's mouth, along with the cigarette smoke she was encouraging her kids to avoid. Look. Jesus goes on to remind his listeners that these men do their deeds just so they can be seen by others and get the best places at the banquets and have people call them by a very respected title, Rabbi. This chapter is also where he states that those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. And from there, Jesus goes on to proclaim the woes, the troubles that will befall those who live hypocritical lives and serve as blind guides to people who are trying to serve faithfully. 23 is a very dismal chapter. And chapter 24 picks up with Jesus telling the people that the temple will be destroyed and the faithful will be handed over to be tortured and killed because of his name. That is quite a prediction, considering this gospel was written well after the temple had been decimated by the Romans. And people were being tortured, too, by this time, for their faith in Jesus. Jesus speaks, too, in this chapter of the end times, when the Son of Man will return, and these words begin leading us into today's reading. Let me read to you verse 36 of chapter 24 real quick, just so you can see how it picks up. The last verse, 34, says, but about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Sounds a lot like what we just heard in chapter 25, doesn't it? You know, this whole story, it's about waiting. And some of us, we wait calmly. And others squirm about, or as my mom used to say, they get antsy. So when I was working for the publishing company, I flew 200,000 miles a year. And that meant spending a great deal of time going through airports. And of course, when the weather was bad or mechanical problems happened, it also meant spending a lot of time waiting. And waiting made me antsy. I didn't want to miss the appointment on the other end of the flight. Waiting was the bane of a salesman's existence. And flying alone with valuable equipment like I did meant taking a bio break while waiting was risky business. And don't even think about napping from boredom like the 10 bridesmaids did. What if they called the flight and you missed getting on board? Yikes. Waiting. There are, of course, other kinds of waiting that we might experience. We wait and sometimes wait for the cable guy to come to fix our internet service, right? And we wait for family members to go through six-hour surgeries. Then we wait to hear the post-op test results from the mass that was removed during that surgery. Parents wait for teens out on a first date or at homecoming or prom to come home. Waiting can be fraught with anxiety when we are praying for a miracle for our loved one who is in surgery. And waiting can be frustrating when we want to get on with our day. So, in Jesus' story, 10 women are in a room waiting. Now, they're all from the same community. All are friends, and have been asked to serve as bridesmaid for this particular wedding. And that should be a joyous kind of wait with lots of giggling and gossiping and having fun. Weddings, you know? What's not to like? But these women are waiting for the bridegroom who is late to his own wedding. Wouldn't that make them wonder? Where is he? Did he fall and break a leg? Did he decide to call the whole thing off with the bride and forget to tell them? Is there anything that they can possibly do to help move things along? For some unspoken reason, these women either weren't able to change the situation or chose to simply wait things out, trusting that the bridegroom would eventually show up. Now, it doesn't feel as though these women were either frustrated or anxious over their wait. In fact, we're told that they all become drowsy and fall asleep. The thing of it is, though, of the hundreds of stories circulating through the region about Jesus, and Jesus performed many things that were not written down, Matthew chose to relate this particular one to his readers who were waiting for the Lord's return. And these people were suffering. The community who had chosen to follow Jesus' way was being cut off from the larger faith community around them. The Romans had already destroyed the temple, and these people were beginning to fear for their safety and security. They were fearing that they would be tortured. They'd been told Jesus would return. But 55 plus years after his resurrection, there was still no sign of him. They were finding it more and more challenging to keep their faith while they waited. How could they trust that the Lord would eventually arrive? They were getting antsy, frustrated, worried. Thankfully, Matthew's story reminds the readers that the bridegroom did eventually come to the wedding. And that in itself was encouraging. But the story suddenly makes a strange turn. Jesus tells his listeners that 5 of the 10 hadn't brought enough oil to last as long as the wait demanded. Then the other 5 told them to go out after midnight and buy more oil. Yeah, these first 5 weren't very well prepared, but seriously, how could oil be bought when the oil stands weren't open at night? Worse yet, by the time they do find enough oil to participate in the wonderful wedding procession, the crowd had already gone into the banquet hall and the doors had been locked. And oh, the bridegroom then denies these 5 women entrance. Wow. Wow. That is not very encouraging to the little community with whom Matthew was sharing this Jesus story. What lessons is the Lord trying to get across to his listeners? It isn't that the 5 women had foolishly missed the bridegroom by sleeping. All 10 women had slept. All awoke when a shout went out to alert them that the bridegroom was arriving. So the idea that all should keep awake seems to point readers in another direction. Where would that be? coupling that possibility with the idea that the five hadn't prepared well for his coming is something to consider. Where might that lead? Perhaps, in part, Jesus was encouraging his followers to use the time they were given while waiting for the bridegroom to arrive by ensuring they were well prepared for his arrival. Perhaps he was saying that when awake, they should actively prepare for the return of the Lord. It's like Jonathan and his National Reserve Unit. They practice how to be a good work team each and every month, don't they? So that when the time comes for them to actively serve, they'll be ready. Ongoing preparation ensures readiness when duty calls. In fact, the Boy Scout founder, Robert Baden Powell, wrote that being prepared means, and I quote, "You are always in a state of readiness in mind and body to do your duty." Well, in this case, we are to be well prepared to welcome the bridegroom for us. Becoming prepared means practice praying, reading scripture, caring for people in need, and sharing the good news with the world as best we can. And I know that for most of us, talking about our faith is tough, but we can do it with our actions. You know, there is still another possible lesson Jesus is trying to teach us here. You see, lamps in those days were made out of clay, fired clay. You couldn't see into them to see how much oil there was, so there was no way of knowing how much oil was still in that little lamp. No wonder the five women who brought extra supplies didn't judge the other three whose lamps were sputtering. They didn't know how much their lamps had. They didn't know how much the other women's lamps had had. You know, they just said, go out and get your own oil. There wouldn't be enough if we shared. If we liken the oil in these lamps to our faith, no one, not even ourselves, can really know who has a large enough supply of faith to last through the wait until Jesus comes again. No one can see or judge all of us or any of us based on how much oil we have. Well, no one except God. Indeed, God alone is the judge of how much oil, preparation, or faith is enough. And while we can never, ever, ever earn God's grace, God's forgiveness, it doesn't hurt to prepare for the Lord's return when we are awake. And thankfully, even while we prepare our lives for Christ's return, God in Christ the bridegroom often comes to our waiting lives. Who knew? He comes in surprising ways, like when people are about to go into surgery and they suddenly know deep in their hearts that they are ultimately safe in God's love. Or when teenagers come home safely, though quite a bit after curfew. Or when faithful disciples actively express compassion for people who have no home, no job, and who don't think like us. Truly, no one knows about the day or the hour when the bridegroom will come. But a bit of heaven does break forth into the earth when faithful men and women live in hope and give themselves over to the work of the kingdom, to prayer, to scripture reading, to offering themselves in compassion to others, to prepare for the Lord's return. May it be so for all of us. May it be so. Amen. Part of our preparation for the return of Jesus to the world is to remember our faith, to claim it verbally. So I invite you to stand as you are able and recite with me the words of the Apostles' Creed, which, if you do not have them memorized, appear on that laminated card in the place where your hymnals are kept. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please join me in singing hymn number 404, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
This is the day on which we have been invited to share in the meal that Christ first prepared for his disciples. We have come from north and south and east and west to sit at table in the kingdom of God with all the saints who have come before us and all who will follow us. So let us now rejoice and share in this meal together. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts to God. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. All thanks and praise be to you, most holy God, giver of life. You made us for companionship and shaped us for love. You gave us your good earth and taught us to care. You established your law that we might learn justice and give you honor with our lives. We forget, though, how to love. We ceased to give care and failed to abide by your life-giving law. So you sent us prophets to call us back to you, and when that was not enough, you came. Word made flesh, your very being overwhelmed us with love. And so we sing with all the saints of the earth and all the angels in heaven together, Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In Jesus, you blessed us as never before. And we thank you for the ways he taught us in word and deed. He fed us in homes and on hillsides. He healed us in body and mind and soul and showed us that true greatness is in humility and true power is in weakness. We remember the night before his death when he took bread. Ordinary bread. And he blessed it. And then he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, This is my body given for you. Eat of it and do always in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup, saying that this cup is the new covenant. Sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do so remembering him until he comes again. Therefore, how can we thank him for this gift? How can we thank him for the gift he gave of his life? When the world did its worst, he took on our death that we might be clothed in light and life. Great is the mystery of faith. Dying, he destroyed our death. Rising, he restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Raised to new life, still bearing the scars, Jesus promised us an advocate and guide. We thank you for, O God, for the Spirit at work in us and among us, who strengthens and sustains, challenges and prods, gives us new life, and surprises us with signs of your unending grace. We pray that you will pour out your Holy Spirit now upon this bread and wine, that it may be to us the body and blood of Christ, and anoint us that we might be one with him and one another. Let us pray together the prayers of the people. O God of light and life, you created the world and called it good. In Jesus Christ, you came to redeem us. His resurrection is our promise of eternal life. By the power of your Spirit, you have claimed us, strengthened us, and prepared us to live with you in glory. In sure and certain hope, we pray for your world, that we may live into your coming reign of justice and peace. We pray for the church, wherever it thrives and wherever it struggles. Keep us faithful to your gospel. We pray for those who govern. Grant them wisdom and a commitment to justice. We pray for this planet and ask that you heal its wounds and make us better stewards of its wonders and gifts. We pray for those who suffer illness and ask that you give them relief. We pray for those who are dying or who have died. And we pray for families who grieve their losses. We pray for those who endure days and nights without food or shelter and ask you to feed and protect them. And we pray for those who suffer or seek your face for any reason. O Lord, hear us now as we, together with one voice, speak the words that your Son Jesus first taught his disciples so long ago, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us the debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, O Lord, we ask that you hear our prayers of remembrance this day. We trust, dear Lord, that with unfailing love, you have led the generations of people that you have redeemed. In your strength, you guided each one to your holy dwelling. You brought them in and planted them on your mountain, the place, O Lord, you chose for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, that your hands has established. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we celebrate our fellowship in him and with all the saints of the Church militant and the Church triumphant. As children of the living God, we pray that all who have passed through the waters of baptism will be forever strengthened to your service and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We lift to you now the names of those who have joined with you in the Church triumphant over these last 12 months and ask that you continue to bless their families.
Nancy Thompson, March 25th, 2023. Sarah Kate Saunders, June 6, 2023. Dr. James Schumacher, June 22, 2023.
To Christ, to you and to the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to you, O God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us sing one verse for all the saints.
Oh,
us now share in the meal that Christ has given us. This is the bread of life that has been broken for each of you. Take and eat. This is the cup of salvation which has been spilt for each of you. Take and drink. Let us pray. Heavenly God, we know that in you all things will be well. We know that you offered us this meal so that we might be strengthened to serve you in love and joy throughout the days ahead. Send us out now so that we might express our love for you by showing compassion to all those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said together, Amen.
Please stand and join me in hymn number 260, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Our help.
friends, my brothers and sisters, we cannot earn God's grace. But we can respond to it by preparing ourselves for the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. We can prepare by praying, by reading scripture, by going out into the world to serve God with acts of compassion. So I invite you to respond to God's gift of grace. Go forth and go, knowing that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit goes with you now, today, and always. Amen and amen.